So I'm going to try to explain why we're trying to do what we're trying to do. Maybe it will help. Okay, part of my problem is I live in the fourth century. And so when the church was finally legal, which was 313, when they could actually publicly get together as a church without the fear of being killed, which was the case up until 313, then they could start to think about how they were going to do it. How were we going to celebrate what became our liturgy? And so this is some of the things that they decided to do. And this is especially true in the urban areas, you know, so in Constantinople, Jerusalem, Rome. And all these church buildings started going up in the fourth century, and they had to decide what kind of building they wanted. And so they chose, since Rome was sort of the, became the head of the church, they used the public meeting space of the Roman, at the time, in fourth century Rome, which was a basilica, which you're familiar with that term. Some churches are titled a basilica, and all basilica is it's an architectural format. And believe it or not, this is what it looks like. It's a long, somewhat narrow, you know, narrow here, long this way. Sanctuary up here, the nave is this part, and we have an indoor gathering space, which we call the narthex, which is its term. But in a lot of the churches, they didn't have a space for that, so the people would gather before the liturgy would begin in the courtyard or the atrium. If it had a narthex like we do, they would meet there, which is what we're trying to do. And what they were doing as they were gathering was doing what we were doing, which is conversing, welcoming each other, and then preparing to come in to the worship space. And what they were doing in the fourth century was waiting for the bishop to show up. And that was the cue that it was time to begin, was the bishop shows up, we all go in together. And they used certain antiphonal music when they were moving. Either Psalm 43, I will go up to the altar of God. That makes sense. Or Psalm 122, let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. And the from Psalm 120 to 133 in the Psalter, those are all pilgrimage songs, pilgrimage psalms that the people, when they would do this several times a year in Israel, would come to Jerusalem. And when you come to Jerusalem, especially if you were coming from the north, you had to go around on the east side and come up from Jericho. You are going up. You go from below sea level, which is the Dead Sea, is the lowest place on the earth, up to Jerusalem, about 2,000 feet above sea level. So you're going up. And we have used that language even in our liturgy. Let us go up to the altar of God. And so when we think about what we do when we're here in celebrating in liturgy, is that it is a procession. And I say, I've said this for a long time, the Mass begins the minute you come, walk out to your car and get into it and come here. That's the beginning of the procession, unless you are fortunate enough to live in the neighborhood and you can walk here. But you still are making a move to get from your home to here. That's really when the liturgy begins. And so what we're trying to do is we gather in the space and we all then become greeters. It's not just the responsibility of the two or three that are scheduled. It becomes all of us, and we actually get to live out our mission statement. Father, make us a welcoming community. And by and large, it's working. Now, I'm not saying that if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. Some people are really used to just that part of their routine is they come to church, they come in here and pray. And all I'm saying is that the church is open from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day, pretty much. So if you want to come in and pray, you certainly can. But if it's part of your Sunday routine, I get it. And somebody asked me before, well, what if we want to come in and do the rosary? Well, then come in and do the rosary and then just come back out. It's they usually start the rosary a half an hour before. Gives you plenty of time to get that in and then to join the community that's gathered. But processions are a major part of our liturgy. There's three of them, if we think about it. There's the one at the beginning that for the longest time has been conflated down just to servers, presider, lector, maybe a deacon if you got one. But it's intended to be all of us coming in together. That's the intention of it. And at the end of that procession, we have a prayer, an opening prayer that's called a collect, is the fancy term for it. And what it's doing is it's, like it says, it's collecting the movement and what has taken place to this point into that prayer. All right? The second procession. Once again, back in the fourth century, when the gifts were brought up, it wasn't just bread and wine or money. It was the people would bring whatever. They would bring produce. They would bring live animals. And they would all go into a different building outside of the church. It's got a fancy name. If you want to know, I'll tell you. And everybody brought up their gifts. It wasn't we went to you to collect. You came up once again, processed, and brought your gifts. And this vestige that's left over from that moment is that there's that hand washing right before another collect that collects that movement together. But the hand washing was done back in the good old days because you were handling filthy animals. And so it was just common sense then to wash your hands. Well, we still do the hand washing, but it's not for the same reason that we used to do it. It was in the liturgy, and so, well, let's just keep doing it. So there you have it. So second procession of the gifts ends with the collect. Then we have the Eucharistic prayer, and then there's another procession. That's when you come directly to the altar of God for communion. So three major processions, and at the end of that procession, after communion, there's another collect. That's that prayer that brings all of that activity together. And the final movement is when you go forth. You're dismissed, and that's where the word Mass comes from, is Misa, which is the theme in the liturgy where it's time to go. You go out into the world, to go back to your lives, but carrying Christ with you, that you encountered here, not only in the gifts, not only sacramentally, but with each other. Because this body that we call the church is a sacrament of Christ's presence here in our world as well. And that when we receive here, we become tabernacles. We become precious vessels of Christ's presence ourselves. And then we're encouraged to go forth to love and serve the Lord until we come together again. So whether or not this is going to catch on, I don't know. I'm not planning on this just being an Advent thing. I would like it to be full-time, that this is who we are. We gather in the narthex, and then we come in together. It's probably going to take a while to get either used to it or not. And if it doesn't catch on, I'll just pout and get over it. But I really think it's a good idea of who we are. And that, and you know, if you really, really don't like it, we're not doing it at 7:30. And I'll tell you why we're not doing it at 7:30. Because there's no music. And music is part of the procession. It's what we do. And also, if you think that this is a burden, once again, go back to the fourth century, where church lasted all day Sunday, and the procession was even longer. You might start the liturgy in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, then you would walk or process 7 miles to the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. They did this every Sunday. and it was all day long. And we get a little uptight if it lasts an hour. So I ask you to contemplate or to think about not only just processions, but what we're doing when we're processing and what we're meeting and who we're meeting in this procession and what it means and what it exemplifies, what it symbolizes, is that we are, as a people, as a church, as the body of Christ, we're on pilgrimage. There's a antiphon in the Liturgy of the Hours on a Monday. I think it's second Monday, second week of Monday. When will I come to the end of my pilgrimage and enter the presence of God? That's our goal, is we are pilgrim people that one day will be called home to our Heavenly Father, and we do symbolic things here in this building that we don't do anywhere else, and it's embodied. It's a bodily function of us. Now, also, just one last thing. In the good old days, the churches, and to the similar extent, Hagia Sophia is still this way, there are no pews. It was a standing event. Liturgy was a standing thing. And in fact, and this is still on the books, but nobody does it. It's in the books that on during Easter, the 7 weeks of the Easter season, that we don't kneel. And I know that sounds odd, but the posture that we do, what do we do when we're sitting? What are we saying when we're standing? What are we saying when we're kneeling? They all are trying to tell us something. And the church sometimes gives us a little bit of advice about what we ought to be doing during certain seasons and times. But practice can sometimes overrule, it seems, what the church asks us to do. And I'm okay with that. So please consider, and if you can't do it, don't do it. I'm not making anybody do anything they don't want to do, but I just think it's such a powerful symbol and of who we are. I notice at the end of Mass, a lot of times people still linger around in the narthex, and that's great. And the other benefit of our narthex is it's weatherproof. In the good old days, you had to stand outside in the burning heat in a Mediterranean environment. We don't have that problem. We've got this beautiful space that's what it was designed for, is to gather us. So I just invite you, I'm explaining why I'm asking you to do this, and I hope it makes sense. And if you need further clarification, I'll be out there waiting for you at the end of Mass.